Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Those who live for the 12-hour game and those who live joyously in the 5-minute game. My name is Jared, and with me, the one who's grumpy at every game, Ian.
That's me. Yay.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Today, we are looking at a variety of small box games.
We are looking at small box games. We're looking at short games that take 5 minutes to play and 45 minutes to emotionally recover from.
My favorite.
Whether you're playing with each other, against each other, or questioning your friendship entirely.
Wow.
The game's over in 30 seconds anyway, so what does it matter? Let's review a bunch of small games.
I don't know that you and I played the same games. I don't remember walking away wondering if my friendships were still intact.
I don't know. One of them was bad. So I was questioning my life as a whole.
What? Okay, I actually didn't have a question for this episode, but now I'm intrigued. Okay. What? Do you have a game that you played and you, what game has taken you the longest to recover emotionally from? Let's put it that way. In all gaming.
Oh gosh, that's such a hard question. My, oh my, Jared. It's a crazy question right there.
I know you've got a story. I know you've got one.
Emotionally cover from?
Yeah. It just, you almost considered putting gaming away. That's how much it rocked you.
I mean, I've already talked about an experience before.
No, nope, you really can't. Bad. We're done with that well. That well is dry. We all know about your Kickstarter tale of woe. Move on.
No. I was talking about the other. There was a gaming night that went
horrible. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was really bad. That one did make me question
everything.
Do I love games anymore? And why am I doing this? I would say an experience that really made me like, oh my gosh, I want to just die inside. I went to a game night that I brought a game. I brought Cosmic Encounter to play, and the goal was to play it first. But
sure, because no friendships have ever been broken from that game.
No, but the goal... Yeah, no. And so, like, obviously the rest of the group, we decided to play something else, which is totally fine. Except for the game that they chose, I did not like. And I never played Munchkin before.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was like, Munchkin, I've seen it at Target. Let's see what happens here. Let's give it a try. Well, 3 hours later, I'm still playing Munchkin. In the entire time, I didn't enjoy a single, like, moment of the game. It's like of just draw a card and just hope something happens vibes. And that I hate those games so much when it comes to just draw a card and you play it and that's what you get. And you just kind of get wrecked by the rest of the game just being, that game is crazy. That game has no structure to me.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like. So it was 3 hours later, and I'm like, I just want to play this game that I brought over here. I think we did eventually get to that one to the table, but I was having a hard time. I was like, can I just forfeit? Like, I don't want to be in this game at all. I hate this. Like, I didn't enjoy any moment. And maybe it was just the game. I don't know, because a lot of people like Munchkin, but that was a rough go around. Again, 3 hour experience, and my whole goal was to play something entirely else, and I don't even know if it happened. I can't remember because my mind was blown by that game. Never again. Munchkin's on the it is quickly joined the banned list very quickly.
Nice. And to be clear, to answer the question, we all already know the answer. That 3 hour experience was one game of Munchkin, right?
Yes.
Like it wasn't like you guys kept playing. Yes. It was this one long, painful death. Yeah. Of Munchkin.
It was really bad. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, you know, I could talk about, and Christian Brumman, I'm calling you out for my 4 hour werewolf game that we played because we couldn't let it go.
4 hours of how many people were playing?
We started with like 20 plus people.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was an insanely good werewolf game.
It's over that.
But bro, I kid you not, and this is before we really enforced the whole you get a certain amount of time before you just got to vote or not vote deal. I think we spent a solid 45 minutes on one day accusation. Like it went around forever. Like it was insane.
Wow.
But I think the moment that really it got so close to breaking me, Ian. I remember just playing and being like, I had a you moment. I'll never forget you saying, I'm just not good at board games. But I legitimately felt this way when we were playing this game. It's right over my shoulder. It still haunts me. React. This game that is going to stay in my collection because of my beloved wife. I remember continuing to play. I'm like, I'm stupid. I don't know how to play games. I don't know tactical concepts. I'm dumb. And I just remember being like, maybe this is it. This is the end of my hobby days because I can't figure this game out. I got clapped so many times in that game. It wasn't even funny. So as we climb out of our rabbit trail.
Yes,
Ian, we're going to talk about some small box games here. And I believe you're up first.
Yes. All right, so our first game, Farm Hand. Publisher is Grail Games. Designer is Craig Summerton. And artist is Samuel, is it Bouvant?
Bouvant. Yeah, you don't have to ever do this part, so you're a little rusty.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Well, you know, we're learning. Well, Farm Hand, you are, you know, you run a farm. And it's a nice little... It's this very interesting... A trick-taking game where you have, there's what, 30 cards in there?
32. I'm looking at the back of the box right now.
32 cards?
Yeah.
Well, that's close. So you're going to shuffle these up, and then you're going to go through round by round, and the hand size of each player will get larger and larger as you play the game. The goal is to guess your bid correctly, and then what you're going to do is there's, you know, the starting player will play a card, and everybody that has that suit has to follow the suit. If they don't have the suit, they can play another suit if they would like. Once everybody plays one card, the card with the highest number will win the suit. Now, if there are two cards that are tied, then those cards cancel out, then it's the next closest. Each suit, though, has a different number of cards within the suit. So one of the suits, I think, has like 13, maybe, or 10 different cards, where then one of them only has two. One of them's like a 7, and then one of them's like a 2 or something like that. So every suit is different. So some of the suits line up with each other as far as numbers that, you know, you could get 3 5s in one of the suits, or like, I think the most you could get is 4 7s, maybe. But anyway... You're going to go around, you'll do that once for the first round, and then you'll progressively get more and more. So the last round, I think, is 4 cards or 5 cards, and you'll be playing through. The player with the most points at the end of the game will win, and you get points based on getting your bid correctly on how many suits you'll win. You get negative points for getting it incorrectly, and then let's say you said you were going to win 3 and you won 0, you're going to lose 3 points. So really fascinating way of the different suits all kind of connected together. I think it's just so neat in the way in the card. Honestly, the card design and art, I think it's perfect. It's like feels very farm-like. It's just, it's a cute little farm game. I think
it's very elegant in the way that it plays.
Yeah. And there's no, like the cards you can see, cause you kind of look at everybody's hands, not the numbered, but like the suit is on the back of the card. I like that I can like look around the table and like clearly know one of them. There's one of the colors is similar, but like, it's not too bad once you like get a good look at it. So I think that's really nice. It's like a really easy light game. It looks good on the table and across the table.
Yeah. So as my brain caught up with my mouth, I started thinking about it. It's a 21 card deck. The other cards are like your bid cards and your cheat sheets and things like that.
Yeah, good.
So 13 is a little excessive for like the highest number that one color has. But there is one that has like 6 or 7. And like you said, it goes down to 2 as far as a different suit. But this has quickly become one of my favorite trick-taking games just because of how elegant it is and the cool feature of you get to know what everybody's suits are, but you don't know what the number is. And I just think that's fascinating.
Yeah. No, so. It's really good. It's a good, quick game, too. Like, we played, was it 5 players we played with?
Yeah.
It was, we played in, like, 15 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's right. And that was one of the criteria that I had as I was kind of picking these games out. Well, not picking them out, but just as we tested them, because I was curious with the smaller game like this, obviously there's less to it. So the criteria, one of the things that I was looking at as we reviewed these was how normally I have a rule that I don't play a game that I don't know the rules to, because I don't want to get started and then one person be looking at a rule book for 40 minutes while everybody's just twiddling their thumbs. But with small box games, like, they're supposed to be like, get the cards out quick and just play. And so I was curious. And this one in particular, it was very easy to just, all right, this is what we're doing, and let's just try it out. And everybody looks weird at you first because you only get one card. And you're like, okay, we're just going to play the trick, like, whatever. But then, like, as
for... looking at the back of
the card. Okay. That's right. Everybody knows. Like, it's just what it is. But then you start to understand as you get to two and three and four cards. So very easy to learn, for sure.
Yeah, great ramping, because it's like, you almost kind of learn the game as you play, too. Like, you define the rules, but, like, you're like, okay, I might be able to guess my bid correctly, but I'm not, at least for me, when I was looking, I was like, okay, well, every suit's different in the amount of cards it has and what values is in it. So it's like, okay, I think I get it, but to see it in actual play through the first round of just playing even one card, you're like, okay, I kind of understand now what I'm looking for when I'm guessing how many tricks I'm going to win. So,
yep. And you get the same value of points, whether you're bidding zero or bidding five, which I also like.
Yeah,
because it doesn't cost you for having a bad hand.
Right. Exactly. So. Exactly. Yep. But you get penalized if you lose in guessing correctly, and that's the spread.
That's very true.
The difference is what you're going to lose. So I've noticed, that cautious, if you play cautious, but at least you're precise, you'll win. Because if you win every round, like, you're guaranteed to win, because I don't think everybody can't get their bid correctly every single round unless you win. So
for sure,
especially later.
All right, my first game is a follow-up to Scram. Is a wonderful little team building. This is a wonderful little team activity of a game,
team building,
that incorporates card shedding and memory. And now the new kid on the block, Scream, is the one that we're looking at today. Scream follows the same basic principle of Scram, in that you have cards down in front of you. One's face up to start the game, the rest are face down. You have to remember what the numbers are, because the way to get rid of them is by remembering those numbers. And so on your turn, you'll draw a card. You'll decide whether you're going to play that card for its ability. You'll decide if you're going to instead add that card to your pile, or you can decide just to get rid of the card if it doesn't have an ability on it. When you decide to add it to your personal pile, which, again, remember, you're trying to get rid of, you will then discard cards. This can be any number of cards. It can be one card. It could be six cards. But the thing is, they have to all be the same number. Now, when you decide what you're going to discard, you slide them forward. And then each player around the table has the option to call your bluff and say, no, I don't think all of those are the same. If somebody challenges you, then you reveal the cards. If they are in fact the same, then you get rid of them. And as a bonus, you get an additional card discarded, and the opponent has to take on another card. Sucks for them. But if you are lying, like the liar that you are,
that's right,
then you keep those cards and you take on an additional card, and the challenger loses a card. So it's high stakes.
Brutal.
Very high stakes. Once one person gets down to two cards or less, they can choose to scream. Screaming triggers the end of the game, and the player will get no more turns, while everybody else gets one more turn to try and get as many cards out of their play area as possible. Then whoever has the lowest value, that is, they weren't able to... If you are the one that screamed and you have the lowest value, great! If not, you get a bunch of additional points. So you play multiple rounds, whoever has the lowest score wins the game. Ian, I loved Scram. I thought it was good fun. It was very light, casual, could play with the kids, could play with adults, and have fun either way. So naturally, I was very excited when Scream came out, thinking that we were going to have more fun. Scream for me, and I think this is a personal preference, because Scram, the more I've thought about it, Scram does not have as much of a bluffing mechanic as Scream does. And there is much more of a need for team focus in a scram game. There's ways to play individually as opposed to teams, but I don't know. It just kind of feels like card draws at that point. But I do think that Scram is a fun team game to play. Anyways, so getting back to Scram. So if you love bluffing and you love chaos, then you're probably going to enjoy this game. But I'm going to tell you from my perspective, I did not have a good time. I think Scream takes away some of the elegant nature of what Scram did. And the abilities, they're fine, but I don't feel like the abilities flowed as well as I felt like they did in Scram. And so it did not hit for our table. So I just want you to be aware of that. The whole, like, we couldn't really get into a good groove with the bluffing. I felt like it was all very much like, all right, well, I feel like most people know us well enough that they know when we're going to bluff. And so we're just kind of playing our cards out because the penalty is massive. It's such a swing if you get called out in either direction, whether you are the challenger or the player.
Exactly.
So it just didn't hit for our table. But if you love bluffing and that's something your group's into, then this is a great filler game for that.
Yeah, I would agree. I like Scram better because of also the team aspect. And I don't particularly love that chaos. I mean, I'm fine with bluffing games, but this felt... it felt like you were going to bluff when it seemed pretty clear that you were going to. And maybe we just, I don't know, maybe I didn't know the game well enough is a possibility. But, it wasn't flowing, like you said. And it's just a challenge when at the table. I didn't have a great time compared to Scram. So Scream, which is the game we're talking about. We're talking about Scream. Scream.
Even though we want to keep talking about Scram.
Yeah. Scream, it just felt a little chaotic at the table. Yeah. I think, one player had like 8 cards in front of them where everybody else was still in the game. So, overall, it just didn't click. So.
Yeah, and again, I think this is going to be a little bit more table dependent. I think, too, it's kind of interesting. I think my expectations coming from Scram influenced my feel about Scream.
Yeah.
Because I don't like, I think if I knew Scream to be more of its own standalone thing as a follow up, I don't know how I'd feel. It might be a little bit different. But I the whole time I was playing, I was just like, man, I remember playing Scram and just not feeling this way. And so we broke out Scram to be like, did we forget that how that played? And exactly. it's just a completely different feel.
Yeah, because I played Scram after this game. I hadn't played.
Oh, Scram that's before, interesting.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the experience there, I still did not have a good time at Scream. So
oh, well.
It did, but that type of game is a little too chaotic for me. Yeah. And so just not my normal cup of tea there. So
totally get it. All right, what do you got next?
All right. Yeah, so Barbecubes, published by Alley Cat Games, designed by, you could hear the grill, inside there. A designer is Brett Gilbert and Rob Sparks, and artist is Rory Muldoon. And so Barbecubes is a cute dexterity game. It's literally got a tiny little grill, and you've got grill foods with tweezers on inside the packaging there. And basically, you're gonna set up your little grill that goes over. He's got a can there. In the can, you put the little like grills over the can, and then you take the tweezers and you flip a card, and it tells you what to put on the grill. And so what you do is you take the little tweezer and you put it on the grill. And it's so dumb, but it's so funny. And then you have to, like, nothing can, like, touch. Nothing can fall off the grill when you're putting it on there, or it drops down into the grill. If you've grilled at all in your life, when the hot dog
goes in between the stupid grills
and falls down the grill, it is the most annoying thing, and you lose points for that in this game. I think you just keep going until somebody loses. I think you get 2 fails or 3 fails, depending.
Hmm.
This game, I think it just so... It's just hilarious. Like, you're just trying. And, I've got decent dexterity, but these tiny little tweezers with, like, tiny little hot dogs, and you're trying to put them on the grill.
They are small.
It is so hard. So I'm, like, laughing as you're trying to, like, be focused. So funny. Honestly, my favorite part of the game is that the tin smells like out the back door grill. I don't know. It just smells like an outdoor grill. Like, it smells like the grilling section. So
yeah. Well, that's what I was doing, like. We got this game almost a year ago, and so I was like, I wonder if the smell is still there. And sure enough, you can still smell the barbecue kind of vibe.
I don't know what they did. I don't know what they did in there, but I don't know if they saturated the pieces. They smoked it. I don't know, but honestly, like, the game is hilariously fun, but also my favorite part is that the can does smell like smoke, so.
I mean, that's one of my favorite gimmicks that I've seen in a long time. Like, it adds nothing to the game, but it's just like, hey, bro, check this out.
smells like an outdoor grill. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's so funny. Very cool. Well, I didn't get to play this one, but you did, and I know you told me it was a big hit, so
that's
funny. Really cool.
Yeah, everybody was laughing. It was a good time. That's it takes awesome. It's like literally 5 minutes. I mean, we all lost so very quickly.
All right. So I've got two here that I'm going to talk about together. They are very similar in what they're trying to do, which is be these small card games that act with a little bit of strategy and thinkiness to it. And I appreciate that. This is Otter and Capybara Crush, published by Charming Games Collective, designed by Dylan Cole. The artwork on Capybara Crush is Andre Ebrio, apologies, and the artist on Otter is Leilamon. So these are two fun little card games that do different things, but they have the same kind of structure where you're basically trying to either, in Otter, you're taking your cards and you're trying to play these cute little sea animals onto otters' tummies. And you're trying to get rid of your hand, and you're trying to do it a number of times depending on how many players you have, and that's how you win the game. But of course, there's specific rules about which otter is going to take which sea creatures, and once you start playing, then you're on, like, you have a certain sequence that you have to follow. But there's ways that you can adjust the rules to be able to fit the puzzle you're trying to complete. And that's what really both of these are, is a puzzle. And that's what they're trying to be inside of their game. So with Otter, you're just trying to shed your hand, get all of them out. There's three different otters out on the board. They will have things like the otter head will have a rule that'll say you've got to play a card that's higher than the previous card, or a card that is between the two other stacks that are out there. And things like that. Not too hard to understand, but it does create a lot of thinkiness for how you're going to navigate the board with your hand. And then the bottom, the tails, will have like certain restrictions about what suits which of the different cute animals you can play on which otter. And those can be flipped over as well. So one of the things I really like about Otter is that it uses all of its space very well. Again, this is a super small box. You can throw it in your pocket and just go. It has a decent table presence, but it's not too much. Something that I always like, I don't know, thinking about my time growing up with Phase 10 and Skip-Bo, like, it's all just very like mindless card play. This has got still that cute attentiveness where you can be like, oh, look how fun this is. And like, you can play it casually, but there's also a lot of thinkiness that can go into it if your group is into that sort of thing. And then Capybara Crush is all about set collection. They're like cute little animals that are stacked on top of each other, and you're drafting cards to go into a line in front of you. And the goal is to collect certain animals in certain spots on your row so that they create longer sets. And the longer the set, the more points that they are worth. Again, very puzzly aspect to it, and got a couple of small variants that are thrown in there, which I really like as well. So both of these are fun little additions to the gaming community, in my opinion, and really sit in that space well of, like I said, we're just going to have a casual time. If you want to think about it, go for it. If I want to just sit here and be casual with it, I can totally do that too. So, and games are like 20 to 30 minutes, so not too bad.
You can't go wrong with, like you said, you talked about putting a game in your pocket and walking away.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something you can say. There's a lot of small games, but that one is actually like, it's like a deck of card box, like a normal, maybe it's a little thicker, but like overall it's nice to have games that are that small. It's really nice.
I like being able to throw one of these in the backpack, like just to have as a, if we have to sit in the airport or just somewhere, like, all right, well, we can do this kind of thing.
Yep.
And it is accessible for kids. I remember talking to Dylan at Gen Con last year, and he teaches, I forget where, cause it's not in the States, but where he teaches, he lets his students play and incorporate some of the rules for the new games that he has that he's working on. So
nice.
I think that's really fun.
Yeah, it's fun. That's cool.
But they both, like, extreme cute factor, man. Like, that's that's the draw. Like, you know, like, let's get hooked in by that. And then, oh, there's a game here. So that's cool.
That's right. All right. The next one we've got is Hissy Fit by Stone Age Distractions. Designer is Levi Robinson and Chris Stone. The second artist is, I'm going to butcher this one, Suchada Boonsong.
Hey, yeah, not bad.
So I'm sorry if I pronounced your name incorrectly. Moving on. Hissy Fit is a game about cats throwing a hissy fit. So it is a cooperative game where players will have a kind of this deck of cats that are freaking out. And then you have these kind of human cards.
They're going to the vet, bro. Like, you'd be freaking out too, I feel like.
You probably.
Your mom probably had to throw you in a kennel and drag you to the doctor too.
But anyway, the cats, basically, it's cooperative. You take one turn at a time, though, rotating around the table, creating combos of, like, the human cards to kind of counteract the cat cards. And it's all symbols that the cat cards will want. They'll want either three different types of, like, icons that you're trying to match when removing those cards. And you're trying to kind of manage the board by also trying to take this little cat figure down the track to the kennel and to get the cat to the kennel without having a hissy fit explosion or getting scratched to death. So anyway, on your turn, though, you'll draw a card or you can do one of two. Basically, you can draw cards or you can play a card. When you play cards, though, the one feature of this game that I really enjoy is that when you play a card, you can pick another player to join you in playing cards that match the same icons. There's like this little categories thing on the left side of the card. And as long as they match one of the icons that matches your card, then you can play them all together and like take out some of these cards in conjunction with another player. And so I think it's a really neat feature. And then, you know, you get two actions on your turn. You can either draw one and play, or you can spend both of your actions to draw. And when you do that, you get an extra card, which is nice. But anyway, you'll go around the table, keep going until you lose or win. The really neat feature in this game, though, that, like I said, that combo, they call it comboing with yourself, which is really cool, but also comboing, you can play as many cards as you want as long as they combo together as your own, but then another player could do that as well. And so if, like, let's say your board state gets out of control, and you have another player that has, you know, three cards that match your three cards, you can play a total of six cards, basically wipe the board. One thing that I did not enjoy, though, is that it was really hard. I played with four players, and it was a pain. So maybe I was just bad. I don't know. It felt like I was getting beat down. When me and you played, it seemed more reasonable, but I feel like we were missing something. I don't know. Anyway, we had no shot. The cat, we were playing on like normal, not even hard. And the cats were out of control. So I don't know. That part wasn't fun. But the rest of the game, I like the combos and stuff. I think if you like good card play, working with others, this game's super quick to play a little cooperative game like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everything I've heard this game is best at two. And so I don't know that we were doing it wrong. I just think it's more fun that way.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's just a card game. Like, it shouldn't matter in a lot of ways. But that's where we are. So, yeah.
No, it felt at four players, it felt like you were trying to like combo with too many people. Two might be good. Yeah. To kind of,
you can rein that in a little bit, because you don't always want to combo. Like, some cards you want to save to be able to do later. So,
and oftentimes you need to drop, you know, three cards. And so, like, if you do that, your turn doesn't happen for a couple rounds and it changes. So, like, I think two is a good game. And I think, like you said, if you like that card comboing and working together in a quick little game, I think this one would be a good fit. And it's not a hissy fit. It'd be a good fit. So anyway. See what I did there?
That's really good. That's a good transition to our next game.
All right. The next one is License to Krill. And this one is by, is it Maka? Maka?
He's staring at you.
I don't like that. Anyway, jeez. Anyway, Maka Games?
Maka.
Designed by Matthew Kimbick.
Come on, man. You got it.
Let's see. It's on a different... Okay, the artist...
This is the hardest one. You can do it.
Gosh, I'm going to botch that one.
Dit. It's just Dit.
I know Dit.
It's going to be offensive if you try and do the back.
Okay, sounds good. Artist by Dit. And anyway, whew, this game is interesting. I tell you what. Well, one, which is fantastic, is that the game comes in the whale. So the cards go in the mouth. And
actually, yes, they both are stored there and they are discarded into the whale.
And they're discarded there. It's like, you know, the game of Jonah and the whale. It's basically what it feels like you become because you get swallowed up very quickly.
Well, you could say that, or you could just say that whale eat all of the things in this game. Because that's how the circle of life works.
Yes. So anyway, you're going to set up this nice little board that has kind of these like krill. You have coral. You have these different setup basically around the board. And what you're going to do is you're going to take one of the options available. And so the cards, the actions change based on the cards. So like I take one, it gets replenished. So the actions are constantly evolving and there's different slots on the board. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a card and take the action that's on the card, and then the whale, which is staring at me, will move generally. So usually in a game is that it's going to move either two slots to the left, move two slots to the right, move to my player to the left, or it's going to chomp down on whatever's there. After I take the action usually consists of giving you some type of special ability or drawing some extra cards, gaining some coral, gaining some krill of some kind. All of these are going to give you points when you play them because you're going to play it down in front of you and gain stuff. Once you do that, the whale will activate, and exactly this. It's a pain in the butt, it feels like, or I don't know. It feels like it's swallowing you up. That's what it feels like, and it does something bad. Well, sometimes it does nothing. Sometimes it just moves, but other times it literally just eats the cards that's in front of you. And you'll take the card and you're going to put it into the whale, right into the mouth, and then seal it back up. It is...
Nom, 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 nom.
That's basically the game. You keep going until you set up the deck based on how many players you have. And so once you get down to the bottom of the deck, the game ends. I mean, the players who have the most points, you get points based off the combos of cards. A lot of the cards look like, you know, they give you points based on other cards you have. Or if you have the most of them, you get this amount of points. Anyway, you add them up. Whoever has the most points wins. This game was very challenging. I think for a lot of the table, I think they all sense the frustration in that you finally got a good card and then the whale ate it, and there's nothing you can really do about it.
Just eats it.
Oftentimes there are ways to move the whale around, but then in two turns it was back on you eating all your cards again, and so. It did feel like this, you know, those games where basically whoever you feel like is in first place is going to get place the whale in front of them until they're no longer in first place, and then it moves on to the next person. And so that is very interesting on how that all happens. I think this game should never be taken serious because too much is out of just uncontrollable in this game. There is a lack of control all throughout. And I think it's hilarious to watch everybody else struggle until the whale comes to you and then you are frustrated. So I think overall this game is meant to be lighthearted and just, you know, a good time for those that don't care. If you're in a mood that you don't care, maybe you've had a couple drinks. I don't know how you like to do your game.
This game might drive you to drink. I don't know.
This game might drive you to drink. Whatever, however you want to, you know, I don't know. Just go in knowing that you are going to get all your cards eaten, and you might have like four cards at the end of the game. That's okay. You still might win with your four cards because everybody else has got theirs eaten too. So very odd game for sure.
It is one of those games. There are two types of people that will love this game. People that love puns, because every card is a pun.
Yes.
And people, like, okay, three types of people. The second type is people that love when a game just beats the snot out of everybody. Like, we're not actually playing a game. We're just participating in what the game is doing.
Yes.
The game is playing. We are just here to hang out. Yeah. And there's a large group of people like that, and that's great. Like, I don't want to take anything away from that. Like, that's not you and me, but I know there's a lot of people that love just, you got it, oh, yeah, whatever. Then the third type is the people that buy cases that look like this. They can't stand the cuteness, and they have to have it. My man is in a tux underwater, like...
I mean, that's honestly, as far for me, that was my favorite part of the game because I felt like I got beat down. So that's
It okay, I will say this. I hate's a strong word. I very much dislike when games do this. It never fits anywhere on my shelf in the way it should. Like, it's such a bear to navigate on the shelf.
It's supposed to be on top of the shelf. That's where it's supposed to be.
I don't know where it's supposed to be, but
it goes on top of things.
All the way at the top. But I will say, unlike a lot of those gimmicks where, like, it comes out of the bag and then it just gets tossed to the side and the gimmick is gone.
No, this is part of the
game. I love that this whale stares at the person it's about to eat its lunch. Like, that is the best part of the game.
It is funny when because you can control, sometimes you have a card that says move the whale to any play or whatever, and you, like, take the whale that's in front of you, staring at you, and you turn it, and I put it right in front of you, and I just have it facing you. And then my, like, the best part is when you get that double trigger, basically it tries to eat twice, and you, like, see that coming, you're like, well, I might lose two cards, maybe more, who knows? We're about to find out, and you just know the pain and suffering's about that.
Yeah, it's true. It's
very
true.
Interesting game. Very
it's
interesting
a bizarro game.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Ian, for our last game, I also struggle with how to feel about this one.
Okay.
Fliptoons is published by Thunderworks Games. It is designed by Jordi Aiden and Renato Simoes. And artwork is by Diego Sa. Now, I remember seeing all the hype last year about Fliptoons and wondering what is the deal with this, because I'm looking at it, I was like, this looks pretty basic, guys, like, what are we talking about? But the art is super cute. It's got the old animation style from cartoons of old, which is very nice, and each of the cards plays a character or has a character that very much is reminiscent of that time, so that part is fun. It's fun, cute artwork. It is really a basic deck management game. It's not, I don't know that I would say it's just deck building, because there's a lot of sloughing that you're trying to get rid of the stuff that you don't want. I mean, ideally, my best hands have been like six cards, and you play six cards every turn. So you want to try and get the right six cards into your deck so that you know what's happening. Play continues until someone, like, you're buying new cartoons that come into your deck. You're playing certain cards, so basically every round you're going to lay out a six stack, and there's a certain way to do it where you're going to have six cards out in front of you, and they're going to do different things, whether they're an ability or scoring points. Every turn you score points, but you don't actually score points until somebody crosses 30 in one turn. And once you've got 30 points, the best part of this game happens, where you play one more hand, and whoever has the highest hand that time is declared the winner. So you can trigger the end of the game and not win the game. And I love that about a deck builder, because you can totally get to a spot where you're like, crap, he just got 30. That means his deck's awesome. But then your deck fully clicks on that next turn, and you've got it. So it that is fun. It is very family friendly. So from that aspect, I definitely applaud it. I mean, I know that my in-laws love deck builders, big Dominion fans, and so they might enjoy something like this. I haven't gotten to show it to them yet. I know one of our listeners on the podcast got to borrow this one from me. He loves it. Absolutely enjoys it. So I think if you're looking for a simple filler and you enjoy deck builders that have a little bit of a different twist, this is a good one to go to. That being said, the game, it just kind of feels very samey, very quick.
Yeah.
And for me, like, it's almost too basic. And so I think there's a large family group out there that will not be bothered by that and will enjoy it. And I would come back just because I enjoy the end game. Yeah. I enjoy that timing aspect of, I want to make sure my deck is solid, because once I cross 30, that next hand needs to be everything. And I do love that mechanic.
But the rest, it's
very unique for a deck builder, because usually it's like, we hit it and we're done. So anyway, so that's Fliptoons. I think, it's a great, Man, of all the ones that we've talked about, this and Farmhand would be the stocking stuffers that I would pick if we were talking about Christmas time, because there's so many people in that family weight that are looking for something new, and it's something where they can really get into it easily. It introduces some heavier game mechanics without being overwhelming. So that's what I got.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the artwork on the Fliptoons is really neat too. And that concept of the end game being very that's just a very unique change. I could see, you know, I don't know, maybe there's, you know, they add an expansion that really adds some more interesting cards to this. Something like that would be an interesting.
Yeah, maybe so.
Add a little bit more depth to it, but. Or maybe do a big backs version. That'd be really interesting. So yeah, I think there's a lot of potential there. I think it's a neat game. You know, again, I could see it getting repetitive. And a lot of, I honestly, these are small games, so these aren't meant to be played.
They get a little more grace, right?
But yeah, they're meant to be filler style or something you play real quick at the table and kind of move on. So.
Yep. I mean, this game is so close. Like, it's missing like one thing. I don't know what that one thing is, but I'm like, if it had one more thing, this would be a go-to filler in our house.
Nice. It's a start.
It's a start. So Thunderworks, go ahead and pump out your expansion for this little gold mine of yours. All right. Well, that's 8 new small box games for you to consider. 9 if you include Scram, which we talked about way more than I thought we would today. If you have feedback or want to give your thoughts on any of these games, we would love to hear from you. Links to all of that is in the description below. If you don't like going to those links, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you can call me up. You can come to a game night. You know, hit me up if you're in Nashville and we'll figure it out.
You can email us.
Email us. That's right. Yeah. Because not all of us like socials, Ian, but there's other ways. The internet is vast, and there are many ways. Oh!
You could join a Discord.
You could, but not if you're a bot. If you're a bot or an up-and-coming artist who only wants to talk to me about your art, I don't want to talk to you.
You actually have to talk about how you don't like the episode or do like the episode.
Actually, that's preferred. I need you to critique my episode before you can talk about anything else.
Yeah, maybe you love Fliptoons and Hissy Fit and License to Krill.
That's
right. Your top 3 games.
No, Scream's their favorite game.
Yeah, Scream is your favorite game. Let us know in the Discord.
Please. The email and all that good stuff is in the description as well. 5-star reviews, subscribing wherever you subscribe, whether it is YouTube, one of your podcast players of choice, all the things above that we know how to do in 2026 because we're all good people that want to support each other. We would absolutely appreciate any effort that you can give towards our show. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for the logo. Special thanks to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. I'm not sure we're going to use this episode, but hey, Alexi, you got a thanks anyways.
Absolutely.
And then thanks to Anna Snyder for the outro music. Join us next week as we head over to the 2-top table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Sounds good. I'm going to go throw a hissy fit over License to Krill. So I don't.
Are you trying to incorporate? You want to incorporate all 8 of them? Is that your goal?
I am an otter that likes to grill. I'm screaming. While throwing a hissy fit, while being eaten by whales, I would rather go live on a farm in a Fliptoon animation panel.
And have a pet capybara crush.
Yep.
We did it!
Hey.
All right.